coming up in everybody's face this morning. Hey, well, thank you very much. I do appreciate being here this morning and be able to share with you a little bit. And a lot of you probably know my dad, don't you? So I'm going to hope that I'm a bit funny, more funny than my dad this morning. So if you don't know, my name's Johnny, and my wife Vanessa's here this morning as well. And you got to hear a little bit from her a bit earlier. And she's from America. So let me give you a little idea of how we met. We were on a missions trip to what's called Mardi Gras. And what that is the America's most wild party that goes on, right? So we went down there to just share Jesus on the streets. And when I first met Vanessa, what's funny with God when he tells you and speaks to you about someone to go and talk to, the great thing sometimes is he always tells you to talk to the most attractive person in the room, you know? So I thought that was quite a coincidence when he spoke to me and said, there you go over there, go talk to that young lady. So I approached Vanessa, and Vanessa was eating my favorite type of chocolate spread. It's called Nutella. You've probably heard of it, right? So she's eating that, and I thought, you know what? This is not a coincidence. This is straight from God. There's a connection here. And so I started to talk to her, and I found out she was absolutely lovely, like you found out this morning. And the great thing about Vanessa is that I didn't really have to do much work in order to get her phone number or anything like that. She slipped me her email address right off the bat, and so I went, come on, you know, that's got to be God. And the final moment that I knew that God had brought us together was at the end of our trip. I jumped on the bus, and I saw, as we were pulling away, just this hair flowing out of the window. And I was like, I wonder who that is. And I looked down, and little Vanessa's running alongside the bus. And then, have you ever seen E.T. before? And you've seen E.T.'s really long finger, right? So that wasn't what Vanessa's finger looked like. She has really pretty little hands. And she was running up alongside the bus, and I see this finger come up, and it reaches up to the window, which was really dusty, and she engraved something into the window. And I couldn't see it, because there were those tinted windows, you know, so I couldn't actually see what was on there. And so I start talking to my friend Jason, who was on the trip with me, and I remember just kind of gazing out of the window, and I wasn't thinking about Jesus whatsoever. I was thinking about Vanessa. And this light beam from heaven hits the side of the bus, and I look at the window, and I realize Vanessa had engraved a massive heart on the window. And I thought, yes, that sealed the deal, you know. And I'm sure Vanessa's got a different interpretation of the story, but that's my one for you this morning. And so I'm really glad to be married to her. She's so challenging, and I tell you what, she's been the biggest form of discipleship in my life that God's given me. And how many of you men, this is where you raise your hands, don't upset your wives. How many of you men know that God's been good to you and given you a good wife? Amen? Yeah, there you go. All right, cool. All right, so I wanted to just talk to you this morning about the presence of God and how important it is to our lives. And how many of you have ever been driving in your car, right? You drive the same way to the same route to work every single day, right? Or maybe for some of you it's school, or maybe for some of you even it's church, let's say, right? And you, as you drive, because you've taken the route so many times, something strange happens sometimes. And when this happens to me, it's quite scary. You end up at your destination, so whether it be church or whether it be work, and you can't remember how you got there, right? You're like, there's all these roundabouts, which Vanessa's really fascinated with because they don't have those in America, but you have all these roundabouts you go around and all the traffic lights and there's people, pedestrians crossing the road, and you think, I could have hit someone on the way to church or on the way to work, and how did I even get here? You end up in the parking lot, you take your seatbelt off, and you're like, How did this even happen, you know? And you can be completely oblivious to what your journey has been. And sometimes we can live life like this, can't we? We can live a little bit unaware of what's going on around and about us, or a bit not engaged in the life that God's given us to live. You know, I don't know if it works like this as you get a little older as well, is that, you know, you just get kind of get into a pattern where maybe you wake up and you prepare for breakfast, and you know, you eat your bacon and eggs on toast and beans, which I've been loving since I've been back here, you know, because I'm originally from London. And so you enjoy that, and then you go to work, and then you come home, and then you fall asleep, and then you wake up and you do the same thing over and over again, right? And then you start to think, is this really the life God called me to? We can't squeeze God into a certain part of our life, can we? We can't just save God for Sunday, or we can't just save God for our prayer time. But somehow God has to be engaged in every area of our life. And I think what's really important for us, the lives of believers, is that we stay engaged with the presence of God. And so we have to wake up to that presence every now and again. We have to have someone in our life that comes alongside us and just nudges us and says, wake up to the presence of God in your life, because it's very real and it's very tangible. And there's this Hebrew word that, if you've got a pen and paper, you can write this down this morning. It's spelled K-A-V-A-N-A-H. K-A-V-A-N-A-H. And it's pronounced covenant. All right? And so in the times of Jesus, the Jews would have went to the temple or the synagogue. And written above where they kept the Torah, so it would have been around here, let's say, written above the Torah where they kept it, it would have said these words: know whom before you stand. Know whom before you stand. And in Jewish culture, it's very rich that you would, all parts of life would be expressed and engaged in the presence of God. And we know it from Scripture, don't we? We know that Psalms 139 says this. David says, where shall I go from your spirit? And where shall I flee from your presence? So it's this idea, this real truth concept, that we are constantly walking and living in the presence of God. Do you believe it this morning, church? I believe that as we walk, as we engage in life, we have the very presence of God, and we're living in the presence of God. And this is a powerful, powerful thing in our lives. The presence of God is so powerful. We serve a God who's omnipresent. He's everywhere we go. So this morning, Pastor Cliff didn't have to invite God into the room. He was here before any of us were. Right? And he's a very tangible person and presence in our lives. And so the God who, just think of this for a second, because sometimes we have to slow down a bit, don't we? And just begin to realize. The God who knows every hair that's on your head, the scriptures say. The God who knows a word that'll come off your tongue before you even speak it. It says that every day that we've lived is written in God's book before even one of them came to be. If you think about that, God is so big, isn't he? He's so massive. He's so involved in our lives. And his presence, I believe, is something that if we as Christians, as followers of Christ, become more aware of at every single moment. We live this life of Kavanaugh, which is very intentional. It's when I go to my workplace, I'm aware of God's presence around and about me and how that has an effect on the way we live. And that's what I want to kind of talk about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and that's where we're going to be kind of examining the scriptures this morning. And some questions for you that you can write down. One would be, how different would my life look if I lived aware and engaged in the presence of God at all times? Now, it sounds a little difficult, isn't it? Because you've got a lot of stuff going on. Let's just be real. We're all humans. But how different would my life look if I lived this intentionality where I made myself aware of the presence of God? How different would my life look? And what would my life look like if I really lived like this was true? Because it is the truth, isn't it? God's presence is with us. So Acts chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse 1. It says this: now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. So they, in the Jewish culture, they had a time of prayer at 9 a.m., at noon, and at 3. And you see this in the life of Daniel as well, when they stopped people from praying, and Daniel would go into his prayer room, his prayer closet. He left the windows open as well, so everyone could hear. This is something Daniel engaged in. They still had it at the time of Peter and John. And so they were going up for prayer at the ninth hour, which is at 3 p.m. And a man lame from birth was being carried, who they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate. And he was there to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter says, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. How many of you are getting encouraged already? There's a miracle of God taking place. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and this is an important part, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is just an awesome miracle of God that takes place. Now I want to look at the way Peter and John counter and interact this lame beggar. So just remember for a second, he's been lame since birth, all right? And they've carried him daily and set him in the same spot. So he's a part of a routine that takes place for him daily. How many of you feel like sometimes life can be a bit of a routine? So you can kind of associate with this beggar a little bit. And so they lay him down, and they set him there to ask for alms. Now, what's important to me and kind of interesting is that, remember, Jesus had told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? So that the Holy Spirit of God, God himself, would come and live on the inside of them. So these disciples, if they were in the habit of going to prayer every single day, it's very possible they could have passed this lame beggar before, because it says the beggar was laid there daily. And so if the disciples had been in this part of Jerusalem praying, maybe at this temple, possibly, it's very possible, they might have passed him before. And there's something different about the way that the disciples engage this beggar. Because we pass people on the streets a lot, don't we? We pass people that might be homeless. And we've all experienced where you just feel like you've got no change. What do I kind of have to offer someone? You know, but these guys really are intentional in what they do. It says this, it says, Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John. This is an intentional looking and engaging the beggar. It's not just, they didn't just walk by and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, mate, I've got a prayer meeting to go to. I'll maybe come back and talk to you a little bit later." It wasn't that. It was a complete engagement in conversation. It was this awareness that God was there at that very present moment, and they were looking not only for God's presence in the situation, but they were looking for God's purposes. You might want to write that down. When you become aware of the presence of God in your life, what begins to happen is you want to engage God's purpose in every given moment. So they didn't just, you know, discard him. They didn't just not acknowledge him. They paid attention to him. They directed their gaze at him. And so what happens in the life of a believer as we start to live out this life of covenant, this awareness of God's presence at any given time, what happens is this: every interaction matters. Because you're serving a God who fills the very room you're in. Every encounter, every engagement you have with someone who doesn't know Christ yet, there's, in that very moment, it's packed full of potential for God's presence and purpose to take over the situation, right? So it might look really dark. It might look really gloomy. The person you're talking to might have gone through some very difficult situations. But the amazing thing is that we serve a God that's alive. Cliff said that this morning. He's not dead. He's raised from the dead. He has all power. The Bible says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus Christ. So we now, with Christ in us, have all authority in heaven and on earth. And we can display this in everyday life situations. It doesn't have to be wacky and weird and thus saith the Lord. But you can begin to engage conversation with people that don't know Christ yet and do it in a way that expresses his presence and his purpose. So how many of you have ever had this happen to you? Where you're thinking of someone, for some reason someone comes to mind, right? Maybe it's Bob or Linda or whoever it might be. And then all of a sudden your back pocket starts vibrating. And you pull your phone out, right? And who's it on the phone? It's Bob. And it's Linda. Or how many of you have been thinking of Bob or Linda and you're in the supermarket somewhere, you're in Tesco, and you're walking down one of the aisles and you bump into them and you're like, this is weird, you know, I just was just thinking about you. Or maybe you've been praying for a certain person and you end up running into that person. Now, what I'm a firm believer of is that in the life of a Christian, there's no coincidences. There's only the purposes of God. And that the thing is that we can live life and have these coincidences take place. And if we're not aware of the presence of God that's constantly with us, we can just dismiss them. We could just simply walk past people like many people did in the time of this beggar. They would have just given him alms and just kind of walked away and prayed. But the thing is in our day and age right now, we carry the Spirit of God within us. We have the very potential to transform people's lives. And if we wake up to the presence of God in our lives or wake up to his presence within us, then I believe we can start to see miracles take place. It's beautiful what you guys do here, that this is a place where people can come and receive help. And they can meet with the people of God. Some people probably don't even know what they're entering into. But we're all carriers of the presence of God and the purposes of God. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. If Jesus couldn't do anything on his own, why do we think we can? So we've got to wake up to the presence of God and allow him to begin to move in our lives. And you see, every interaction matters. Every encounter you have with a human being is someone who God's created in his image, and he's ready to restore them back to himself. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We're here to bring people back to God. Amen? Amen. So I'm not a believer in coincidences. I have a friend named Luti, and he's from the Ivory Coast. And so me and him have something in common all the way out in America where we're living at the moment. And we like football. And so I met him, Luti, on a football field. We were, me and my friend Stephen were playing, passing the ball around a bit. And Luti comes walking over. And this is a time when I was really trying to practice this presence of God and realize what God wanted to do and look for his purposes, you know. And so Luti comes walking over and he asked me, you know, I didn't know him at the time. He says, you know, my name's Luti. I'm looking for a football team to be on. And, you know, I was kind of in the middle of playing, and so I just realized, you know, maybe I need to speak to him. Maybe God wants to begin to say something. And so I start talking to him. I don't have a football team. I'm sorry, you know. And, you know, but where are you from? And I see this lady as we're talking, walking over behind Luti. And she comes all the way up and starts talking with us as well. And we find out that Luti is married to this lady, Danielle, and she's from Chicago. And Stephen and Grace, who I was with, were from Chicago. And we found out that she lived in the very same town just south of Chicago that Stephen and Grace, my wife and I, also lived in. And I found out that she was an agnostic. And so she believed that there was something out there, but just wasn't quite sure. She didn't know if she could believe, she could believe in God or not. Sorry, I'm getting this mixed up, aren't I? And as we were carried on talking, we found out that she had been partnering with a pastor that I was interning at a church with. And so what became from this very kind of massive world where I was like, it didn't even know these people, it became to where I was really involved in similar areas that they were involved in. And I knew similar people that they were involved in. And this is like 3.5 hours away from where we had originally lived. And so I started to think, this is incredible, you know. God has brought people from all different parts of the country, and we know similar people. And it's not coincidence, in it, when things like that happen. This is the purposes of God. And what we're seeing now is Luti and Danielle, who are married, they're coming along to some of our kind of Bible studies and our potlucks that we have. And it's similar things that go on in this room, isn't it? You meet people in the community. You don't take it for granted. You invite them into the fellowship. And God begins to work, doesn't he? There's no coincidences when you serve God. And there's a reason why you have the next door neighbors that you have. There's a reason why you have the workmates that you have. There's a reason why you're in the very workplace that you're in. It's no coincidence whatsoever. God's purposed it. You carry the presence of God. You're not there just to work. You're there to do a good job, but you're there to display the presence and the purpose of God in your workplace. And when we live with an awareness of God's presence, we look for his purposes in every interaction that we have. We're looking for God to do something new in the lives of those around and about us. Something else that happens when you wake up and become more aware to God's presence is that you realize what you have. You realize what you're carrying. Peter says, I have no silver and gold. But what does he say? He says, what I do have, I give to you. Now, I'll just be real with you. Sometimes I feel like, what do I have to offer people around me? You know, what do I have to offer people that are in my community? I've had some funny things happen lately with my wife. And one of them was I was walking to the supermarket, and on the way up there, I saw this guy sitting on the side of the road. And again, I was really trying to, God, what are you wanting me to do today? Bring some people across my path. And so I see this guy, and he kind of was wearing really kind of tattered clothes, and he looked like he wasn't doing too well. And so I thought, God, what do you want me to do? And I didn't hear anything from God. I just approached him, and I asked him, hey, is there anything I can get you from the supermarket? I'm heading up there. Is there anything I can get you, maybe a drink of Coke or a sandwich or something? And he pulls his jacket away, and he goes, oh, no, I'm okay, mate. I'm just waiting for the bus. And he had his wallet there. He had a drink there. And so someone I thought was homeless actually wasn't, you know, that he was just sitting there waiting for the bus. It was really embarrassing. And another one was we were driving the other day, about a week before we came out, and this guy had a Zimmer frame, you call it, right? It's one of those, yeah, an older guy, and he was walking with a Zimmer frame like this. And so I was like, Vanessa, maybe me and you could pick him up and we'll, you know, take him to where he needs to go, just do something nice for him, and maybe we can begin to share Jesus with him. And so I pull up alongside, and he was really struggling along, you know. And so I pull up and say, hey, is there anything, can me and my wife give you a ride to the place where you need to go? And he said, oh, no, I'm okay. I've just had a knee operation. That's why I'm walking slow. And I said, yeah, you know, I'll give you a ride somewhere, wherever you need to go, you know. Seriously, it'll be fine. And he said, no, did you not hear what I said? I've had a knee operation, and the doctor wants me to walk on it. And so I felt, you know, sometimes you can feel like a bit of a lemon, can't you? Because you try things that God's asked you to do, and you feel like, yeah, God wants me to engage this person in a conversation or share Jesus with someone, and it can all go horribly wrong sometimes. But the main thing is that God's presence is always there with us. God's presence is there with us, and we have something to give. You see, the truth, the scriptures say that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So anything we need for life, we have in Jesus Christ. We're carriers of the very Messiah, Jesus Christ. He's come to live on the inside of us. What the world thirsts for, you and I carry. So in any moment, when there's someone that feels depressed, you carry the joy of the Lord. Because in the presence of God, there's joy, isn't there? And I hear you're going through the fruits of the Spirit, right? So the Spirit of God is on the inside of us. So love, if someone needs to experience love that hasn't experienced it in their household, you carry the love of God on the inside of you via the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can begin to bring those fruits out and display those things in the life of others. Romans tells us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you and I. I think sometimes we have to wake up to the power that we have within us. You know, we might feel mediocre sometimes. We might feel like there's no way I can help someone. But what is very important is the God you serve. You serve a God of the impossible. It's a God who raises people from the dead. Come on. You know, so when we engage our culture and our community, and in this space here that you have, you carry the Spirit of God within you who raised Jesus from the dead. And so what I kind of want to close with this morning is what I like to do is always have some room where we can begin to apply what we've heard, where we can begin to practice some of these things. Because it's easy, isn't it, to come to church, hear a message, and then get tucking into dinner, right? You can just kind of leave it alone. So if you've got a notepad, you might want to write some of these things down. What's some of the things that we can do to live aware of the presence of God, not only in a room that we're in or an environment that we're in, but also in our very lives by the Spirit of God? So something I've done, it might help you, is I kind of stick sticky notes on my mirrors in my house. And I'll write this phrase on there: are you awake? All right? So I'll write, are you awake? And I'll put it in different books I'm reading, or on my phone. I had it on my screensaver for a while, so that when I'm engaging in a conversation with someone, I make sure I'm awake to what God wants to do. I'm looking for his purposes, aware of his presence. That might be the first step for you this morning. Another step might be, you might want to think about people around you that represent this lame beggar. So who are the people in your life that maybe you pass by on a daily basis, or you encounter on a daily basis? It might be someone at work. It might be someone that you talk to often, but you've just kind of, you know, if you think of it as an analogy, you've just kind of paid someone alms and kind of walked off. You know, you kind of talk for a minute and there's not much to it. Who are the people in your life you come across on a regular basis that you might be able to, now when you engage a conversation with them, you're aware of God's presence there and you're looking for his purposes? What does he want to say to them? What does he want to speak? Are you listening to the Spirit of God within you? Who do you encounter on a daily basis? And begin to write some of those people down. Maybe for you, you are at the same supermarket every single time you go, and the same cashier rings you out. You know, maybe it's Debbie, maybe it's Lucy, whoever it might be. I'm on the name game today, aren't I? And maybe you might want to learn their name, and you can just start small. You just say hello, you know, or you ask them, maybe they begin to open up to you a bit about their family life, and you might want to say, you know, you might not pray for them there and then, but you might say, you know what, I'm a Christian, I'm going to be praying for you on that. And next time I come through, you ask them again, how's that situation in your family life? So where are you a regular? Is there a coffee shop? Is there a supermarket? Is it a workplace? Is it even the church? You might even, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you want to be more aware of what God might want to speak through you to them. Really good things to think about. Maybe the person in your life does have a physical ailment, like the crippled beggar. Because I keep forgetting sometimes that a miracle takes place, doesn't it? God, in the presence of God, it's not just love that's displayed. It's not just, you know, peace that's displayed or kindness. But the healing power of God is there. You can't have one without the other. It's the same God, you know. And so maybe the person that you're encountering has a physical ailment, and you might want to begin to pray for them and show them that God's presence is in the room as you're praying. So it's good things to think about. So if you don't mind, I'll just pray and then I'll hand over to you. Well, Lord, we just thank you this morning for your word. And we thank you most of all, Lord, that your presence is something that we carry. And that, Lord, as believers, Jesus, sometimes we can fall asleep to the fact that, God, your presence is living on the inside of us. And so I pray that you'd help us as a community, God, just to wake up to the fact that we carry what this world thirsts for. And I pray as believers, we would encourage one another to wake up to the presence of God in our lives. That as we encounter the broken and the needy and the hurt, Lord, that, Lord, your presence would be experienced through the lives of this church, Lord God. That the love of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and the healing power of Jesus would be displayed through the people here at this church. And we just thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you for your love. And we thank you that you died on the cross to save us from miserable lives, brought us from darkness into life, Lord. I thank you for joy of the Lord on this church, God. I thank you, Lord, that where people feel like they might be lacking or in need or in want, that, Lord, these circumstances that they go through will not dictate the way that they live. But, Lord, your presence will dictate the way that we live. Your power and your love, Jesus. We don't serve a dead God that doesn't interact with human life, but, Lord, you became man so that we could see how to live. And, Lord, now you live on the inside of our lives. I thank you, Lord, in this room right now, like Cliff said, if there's anyone struggling in any way with any physical ailment, Lord, we just break the power of that sickness off their life right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you fill us all with more of your Holy Spirit, God. I pray, Lord God, that you would fill us anew, Lord, like rivers of living water. I pray for this community, Lord, that as this group of believers goes out into the mission field, Lord, that they would begin to see your power, your love, your peace, and your healing power in the name of Jesus. I pray you'd give these group of people a great week this week in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.